Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on the Mitch Hanks Show.
Wasn't that fun? Sly and Willie in the same broadcast. Now we have Jeff Diggins of the Media Research Center joining us on CNN. I did mention, I actually meant this, and I was listening to another host say this, but James Hodgkinson could have been on the panel at CNN. He could have been on the panel at MSNBC, I thought, and fit right in with his postings and his ravings on news clips and so forth over the 1% and the 99%, and Trump is a traitor, and the Facebook group, terminate the Republican Party. Anyway, Jeff Diggins joins me. Hello, Jeff.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's good to have you on. I thought he was kind of a mainstream progressive voice in what you read about his postings and heard him interviewed. Isn't that fair to say?
Well, I know you're right. It's the things, the shows that he watched, Matt Al and The Daily Show. I mean, he kind of really sort of fits right in there, but yeah, it's a terrible situation.
No, and I don't mean to suggest that Jon Stewart or Stephen Colbert are going to get the military-style semi-automatic weapon and go, shoot.
Right.
I mean, let's face it. The other point is, do we really blame the vitriolic discourse on Facebook and Twitter and you know, live chats on the shooting, which, you know, I can't really go that far. What do you think?
I think ultimately the criminal is responsible for his actions. And
sure, yeah. But have we ever been, of course, I realized growing up, some people, you know, my whole life, some people just can't talk about politics. You may have that in your own family, friends at the bar, whatever. I mean, they just can't do it. And people get angry. And this this notion that if you don't agree with me, I get angry, isn't that rooted in a very fascist kind of tyrannical moral code?
It's Orwellian, and I think it's also based in insecurity of I really believe in my beliefs, so I'm going to talk to you or yes.
Well, that's what talk radio is, you know, Jeff. People listen for 3 hours. I was right again today, wasn't I? Was I right again today? That's what it is. And the listener wants to be reinforced.
Right. Well, I've always felt like, talk radio is going way back to me. It was like, I feel alone in my views. I watched the liberal news networks at night, and then finally, you know, in the 80s, really, you had strip talk radio pop up and be like, oh, I'm not alone. So, yeah.
Well, that's right. I mean, Rush is not the ditto. You know, he is the ditto head because he agrees with his audience. I always say, because you're younger, I'm sure, but fourth grade class election, 31 votes for Nixon, 1 for McGovern in my fourth grade class. Those 31 families were there, you know, 16 years before Rush had his national show.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, that's what it was. I mean, before that, you had William F. Buckley on Sunday on PBS, which I'm guessing a lot of people in Kansas and suburban Cincinnati weren't tuning in.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, hey, honey, I'm going to go home and watch Firing Line. I know the fellas want to have beers after the softball game, but I'm headed right home to see Buckley debate Mark Green.
Wow, right.
I mean, I don't see it happening, Jeff. I just don't. Of course, then Rune Ilitch hired George Will with the bow tie on ABC, and that was supposed to be the first really foray into getting a conservative voice. And now it's just, you know, it's like an orgy. No, I don't mean to offend, but, I mean, you can get whatever you want now. Rush or Laura or Mark Levin or Michael Reagan or, I mean, let's face it. I mean,
right. Yeah.
Whatever you want.
Now,
I know how your group always wants to say how many minutes the network spent on something. You know, Jeff, I haven't watched a network newscast in probably 15 years. You know, a lot of people do, though.
Of course, they're still the highest rated, though. It's interesting. It's like, you know, the viewership isn't what it used to be because there's obviously a lot more outlets, but they're still, if you're talking about, you know, ABC Nightly News or NBC Nightly News or ABC World News or CBS.
Well, okay,
News.
Then we have to say, because I've heard this since Agnew was vice president, you know, the nattering nabobs of negativism. I mean, let's face it, there was the same cry against Cronkite then. And Chancellor and Howard K. Smith, nothing has changed, Jeff. Nothing. So my question is...
networks, you're right. If anything, they've gotten more liberal and more sort of...
Well, maybe they did, yeah. But the point of it is, I mean, it really didn't change fundamentally. So my question is, how come Rupert Murdoch was the first person to buy a network? Weren't there other rich, big giant mogul conservatives that could have bought a network or bought CBS or ABC in 40 years?
That's maybe they just weren't the visionary. Maybe they didn't have the, they were worried it wasn't going to work. I don't know.
Well, I think that is rooted in the, a conservative person wants to make money and they see the, whereas if you're liberal, you want to make a difference. So it's
right.
It's kind of like you buy a sports team because you want to hang out with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar or you want to hang out with, you know, a great baseball player and be seen, you know, at the club. I mean, so you have different motivations. But if your motivation is to make money, you probably won't buy a network. Isn't that
right?
What the bottom line? But Rupert Murdoch, he must have made money, right? I mean, he must have made some cash.
No, absolutely. With there's still even with all the changes, it's consistently among the highest in prime time. You know, it's interesting. MSNBC has started to get back some of their old viewership, and everybody's excited about MSNBC's ratings going up. But Fox News is still up there.
What's happening is, if you're on the left, you're just addicted to a 24/7 because you want Trump to be impeached tomorrow, so
right. You're
going to watch. And then if you're a conservative, you don't want to hear any more of that. You're sick of hearing it. So you'll listen to the fun people in the morning on Fox doing the grilling out on, you know, the street.
Right.
I mean, so that's what people are in different camps. I mean, it's the way it works. But my question is, I mean, you guys put all these things out there. Are we going to try? I mean, is CBS, ABC, are they going to change their behavior because... you guys put out the stats on... I saw something the other day. You know, the WikiLeaks stuff, we talk about the WikiLeaks stuff, which is driving this investigation. Cable networks, they said, spent 33 minutes total on those WikiLeaks emails, as opposed to 4 hours on Trump's sexual innuendo. 4 hours?
Right, yeah.
I mean, come on.
I think CBS and they're tied in the wool. I think it's we're out here to expose and to let people know and let people know. They're like,
well, hey, you're you know exposing to the choir is my point.
Well, it's like if you want to talk to your neighbor, your coworker, and they're spouting out, well, you know, Brian Williams said this or Mitch Maddow said that. We're here to say, well, actually.
I know what you're saying, but I do think it's funny, but it's true that the shooter could have been on the panel at CNN. By the way, they have like 10 people on that panel. You know,
He keeps growing.
Did you see the one where Dennis Prager was on, and he said, "Well, I've got a lot of problems with Trump's style, but we got the Supreme Court, and we got this and that." I mean, what I find interesting is that the never Trump Republicans are on there, and they hate Trump. Do they want a liberal agenda to succeed? I mean, obviously, that's less important to them than having somebody they can stand, right?
No, I know. It's like it's what's the saying? Like 70% of something is better than, you know.
Well, yeah. I mean,
instead of nothing.
I mean, I have a never Trump or Republican who sends me 10 emails a day waiting for the resignation day. I'm thinking, well, what? I mean, what do you want? I mean, what is your. So, really, this stuff on personality and his vulgarity and stuff means more to them than, say, tax reform or health care changes. Or, you know, not, that is less important.
Right. No, and I would say, I mean, I always think they're I was part of that percentage that was skeptical, because I wasn't sure if the style was going to work. But I mean, you look at the regulations that are being cut. You look at the Supreme Court pick. You look at the judges. You look at what's you know, a lot of the plans are coming down and the budgets and you know, if you're a conservative, you know, say what you will about his style. I mean, there's a lot of substance that, if it gets passed, looks strong. I mean, so, but you know, and I also like that Trump is just calling out the media for the fake news and I got a whole report here on Newsbusters about CNN and fake news and saying that this is not a new thing, that CNN for decades now. Going back to the old baby milk plant. Which I remember, I saw the time.
No, Peter Arnett. Was that Peter Arnett? Was that Peter Arnett?
That was Peter Arnett.
Because he reported that we bombed a baby milk. You know who else said that? It was Jimmy Carter. I remember the time. He was repeating that. Then you had some other ones, right, Jeff? I mean,
yes. Peter Arnett also, this is a scandal that basically got him removed from CNN, was he falsely reported about Vietnam War, Operation Tailwind, soldiers using nerve gas to kill basically defectors. And this was so full of false reports that you had their CNN's top military consultants, Perry Smith.
Now, wait a minute. CNN didn't exist until 1980, right? I mean, the Vietnam War.
Well, right. So this was 1998 story, looking back at Vietnam.
Oh, looking back?
War.
Okay.
Yeah. And well, it was close to the whole, because Saddam Hussein and chemical weapons. So basically, the gist of the story, sort of the underlying undercurrent sort of theme that they're trying to say is, how dare the United States talk about Saddam Hussein using chemical weapons when they did this thing in Vietnam? Totally false. Not true. CNN was forced to get an outside lawyer to investigate it. And they were forced to fire the producers and retract the story on air. And I've got video of that.
Why didn't he just say that we dropped some napalm on a few trees, Jeff? I mean, you're talking about chemical weapons. I mean, come on. I mean, there was a lot of chemical use going on in those days, but you may be citing a different story, obviously. But
right.
Well, I mean, nobody cared about the weapons of mass destruction being wrong, and people threw their hands up on that one. And then go ahead.
Yes, and then of course we would go all the way up to current day. You remember Donna Brazile feeding the...
nobody covered that. I mean, she actually had a news conference admitting she did that. Nobody covered that. That got no coverage. I mean, did Fox even have that? I don't know.
Yes. So here you have someone that's paid staff.
It was a huge scandal, I thought. That was right up there with James... Who was the guy? Charles Van Dorn and the... Quiz show. I mean, this was big stuff.
Quiz show. You're right. Yeah.
I mean, nobody covered it. Is she still going to work in the party going forward or what? I mean, I just can't believe it. Anyway, Jeff, I appreciate the time. So is it?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Newsbusters.org?
Yes, that's the site.
All right. Thanks a lot, Jeff.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you very much. John Zimrak, who will talk about the resistance and what the term resistance means in politics. And it's not like the French resistance of Charles de Gaulle. I don't think he means that when he's talking about the resistance to Trump. We'll have that exchange coming up on the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
Two bridges. Was one of the toughest neighborhoods in New York, especially in the Al Smith projects. It was a no man's land with no rules. On Christmas Eve 1951, Mac Pastamadeo vanished without a trace while walking home with his little boy Angelo. Now 13, Angelo's a gang member and the only witness to the brutal murder of an undercover cop who holds a clue to Mac's disappearance 6 years ago. Stalked by killers Angelo becomes part of an unlikely alliance of a priest, a mob boss, and a police detective in order to uncover the truth behind the murder and Mac's disappearance. Weepers by Nick Chiarkis.
For nearly two decades, Troy Research has been measuring attitudes and opinions for our clients worldwide. Success is determined by your customers. What do they know that you don't? Ask them. For Sony Motion Pictures, the Green Bay Packers, the Wisconsin Historical Society, Troy Research has asked questions that made decision makers wiser and more successful. Where can good research take your business? Call or email to talk about it. Troy Research, 271-8884. Or email jlittle@troyresearch.com. This is the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
In real estate, you want to work with Tim Rail.
I did work with another realtor, and I had the house on the market for close to a year before Tim stepped in. With Tim, my house was sold in 4 months. Tim Rail had so much more to give. Tim was always there and accommodated my schedule.
Let's get ink on paper today with Realtor Tim Rail of Coldwell Banker Success, 698-7653.
I would recommend Tim Rail any day.
Tim Rail, 698-7653.
Need a comedian or MC for your private party or corporate event? Don't be shy. I can do it without telling any dirty jokes. In fact, when I'm not doing my Frank Sinatra tribute show, I've done stand-up at the comedy club and at private events for years. Whether it's a large convention or private gathering in your living room, I've done it. We all need to laugh more. The world can be even more stressful than it is. There's no business like show business, and I usually find those of you who have the best jokes about your coworkers at the company dinner. So feel free to contact me at 347-0374. That's 347-0374. Or email at info@madisontalks.com. That's info@madisontalks.com.
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
Okie doke. Now we talk to John, pronunciation Zimrak. Is that right, John? Am I close?
You're close. Nobody gets it right. It's Zimrak. Oh, Zimrak.
Zimrak. You actually pronounce the Z. Zimrak.
Yeah.
Are you my Penn State guy? No.
No. No, I went to Yale and OSU.
Oh, Yale and OSU. Huh? OSU just stole our Butler coach, by the way. Anyway, here we are. And the seriousness of the shooting, you wanted to get into the whole terminology resistance, because we've been hearing this going back to Madonna and all these people and the, you know, Rosie O'Donnell and then politicians, my aunt on Facebook. It's all about resistance. Anyway,
right.
I think go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about resistance, what is that a reference to historically?
The French resistance, right? The French resistance to the Nazis and Charles de Gaulle.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So when you say that, you're saying the government is illegitimate. You're saying the election was stolen somehow, that Trump voters shouldn't be allowed to vote, Trump shouldn't be allowed to be president, the laws he's passing or trying to pass, the decisions he's making. These are the actions of a tyranny. And what did the French Resistance do? They didn't just have bumper stickers. They didn't run around in pussy hats. They blew things up and shot people.
Well, that's so true, yeah.
So when people talk about resist Trump, disrupt Trump, what they're saying is your friends and neighbors who voted for Trump, they don't get to talk. They don't get to speak. The Republicans are not allowed
They're low-life and Neanderthals and...
Deplorable.
Yeah.
So, and this doesn't just come out of nowhere. As I document in the article, it's over at stream.org. It's called Radical Shooting Congressman. This is how you get the Spanish Civil War. A lot of people don't realize the Spanish Civil War was started when a leftist shot a member, a conservative member of the Spanish Parliament. And that was the tipping point.
What about the sinking of the Spanish Civil War, the Franco one, right? I was racing ahead of the Spanish-American War, which is different, but...
No, Spanish Civil War.
A leftist killed a conservative member of parliament. Is that what happened?
And that was the last straw. that set off the Spanish Civil War.
I just remember back in 79 Live with Chevy Chase, Generalissimo Francisco Franco is still dead. I mean, that was a different story. But,
The left should remember that it was the right that won the Spanish Civil War, but it was also a horrible, ugly, incredibly destructive
conflict. I hope you don't have Franco posters up on your child's wall there, John.
Not since college.
He wasn't. Franco wasn't exactly a wonderful man, you know.
But that's what happens when the left goes so far in one direction, you provoke an equally violent reaction to the right.
I know. I live in the Isthmus. I live in Madison, John. I mean, you're kind of shoved. Yeah. I mean, I'm a former Gary Hart delegate and Jim Doyle communication director, but you do get shoved into a contrarian corner when you live in the belly of the beast. That's what happens.
Right. And so what I'm talking about in the article is this is not an accident. It's not just something that Kathy Griffin and Madonna and Ice Cube.
Kathy Griffin is not funny, by the way. Well, of course, she did was not funny. But
well, I think her stunt was a desperate plea for Botox.
I just find her. See, Clint Eastwood at the convention, and he's not even a comedian, but he was getting real laughs. He was. Even Bill Maher admitted it. He talked to the chair.
Kathy Griffin just taps into a certain strain of really nihilistic gay people. I mean, I think that's her core audience.
Is she the modern-day Joan Rivers then, or Judy Garland, or what's going on there?
No, she taps into the ones who are really angry and bitter. You know,
she has a niche of angry gay audience members. That's
her core audience, and she's the one who was making fun of Sarah Palin's child, saying go home and take care of your retard.
That's a bi-coastal kind of a boutique content that it's only going to work in the coasts. I mean, that's not going to work. I mean, it might work in a college club of 200 people, maybe, in a big market. But it's narrow. It's very narrow.
The problem is that it's not just these people. What's being taught at most of our universities, in promoting social justice, they're teaching them to disregard objectivity and freedom of speech and fair discussion.
Well, that's what happens. I live in that kind of area. And so you find yourself pushing back out of a need for a fair fight. That's what it is, right?
Yeah, well, but they don't believe in a fair fight. They don't believe in objectivity. They've rejected most of the values that supposedly justify having a university.
Where did you grow up, John? Where did you grow up?
New York City.
Well, so you're in a very liberal area. So,
I grew up in the same neighborhood as Donald Trump. I grew up in
Queens?
Sort of Archie Bunker, Queens.
Well, I wouldn't say Archie Bunker was in Donald Trump's neighborhood.
Oh, it's similar. You know, they're both parts of Queens. It's the same county.
Yeah.
Donald Trump was in the rich part of Queens.
Right,
I was in the blue-collar part of Queens.
Ah.
But that part has been mostly driven out. The rents went up. All the blue-collar people moved
out. They all moved to Staten Island, right?
That's right. Staten Island and Long Island.
Long Island, yeah. Up in Uniondale.
The problem is that all this talk of resistance, all this talk of the government being illegitimate, it feeds into this kind of violence. I mean, imagine if, after the election of Barack Obama, a bunch of angry conservatives claimed the election was illegitimate, that he wasn't really president, and they started staging plays where Obama lookalikes were executed, waving pictures of Barack Obama hanging in a noose.
Well, we had
a Republican supporter shot at 10 Democrat members of Congress. It's like an attempted military coup. This is not some lone nut. This guy was a Bernie Sanders volunteer, a supporter of the Southern Poverty Law Center.
His rhetoric was mainstream. As I said and quoted somebody else, he could have been on the CNN panel. He would have fit right in. I don't blame anybody but him. I mean, you could... Otherwise, you could go down that road with Timothy McVeigh. You could say that he was.
You know, I do blame people who say that the government's illegitimate and that you need a resistance.
I understand. I mean, Trump did win. He got 306 and finally 304 electoral votes, which is a sizable electoral victory. And frankly, I've heard people say that if you took New York City out and L.A. County out, the popular vote would have been either tied or he would have won. Who knows? But, you know, obviously you can't do that. But if you win California by 3.4 million and New York by 1.5, that's like 5 million right there. It's like winning a baseball game 15 to 1. You only get one win for that, right?
That's right. That's right.
I mean,
the problem is that these people don't really think that conservatives and Christians and blue collar people and rural people actually are their fellow
citizens. Hey, you got some conservative Jewish. I mean, look at Dennis Prager. Look at Michael Savage. Yeah. I mean, come on.
Right, right. I just don't. I don't think that they. When the liberals have negative stereotypes of conservatives, they're probably not.
Well, that's true. But see, I grew up as a child with my mother hating Nixon, my aunts, and this has been going on. I mean, 40 years, right? I mean, 50 years. It's been going a long time.
And what we're getting is something a lot like 1968, when rabid mobs took over colleges, silenced free speech. Threaten people and just created an atmosphere of fear. You can't speak freely at universities.
Well,
there are mobs of
hooded
protesters.
Well, they were protesting the war at that point. I mean, and also civil rights. I mean, what are they protesting now? Just a guy with vulgarities in his speech patterns? I mean,
I think they would be doing the same thing if Ted Cruz had been elected, the exact same thing.
Oh, I mean,
any Republican, they would have been doing the same thing because they they were going to get Hillary Clinton.
But I always thought Cruz was the kid that peeked into the window at the Shorty House and ran. I'm sorry,
point is, they would be acting the exact same way. If Jeb Bush were president, they would be doing the same exact thing. They counted on Hillary Clinton winning, and they would be able to pack the Supreme Court and take all the crucial political issues out of the reach of the voters.
Well, that's all true.
Forever.
I'm not sure they would have been the same with Jeb in there, but who knows, you know.
I think these people, they're that addicted to power, and they're that entitled, and they feel like they're the only legitimate voice of morality and.
Boy, you had a few. You had a few college fights, didn't you, at the cafeteria there, John? Or I mean, just.
I was the editor of the campus conservative paper.
Oh, you know. I'm sure you were a big hit at those parties on Friday night.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Well, try not to be scarred by that. So.
I'm fine.
All right. Is it stream.org?
Stream.org, and check out my new book, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Catholicism.
Oh, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Catholicism. All right.
Yeah.
Peace be with you. Amen.
You too.
Thank you. Come back. Why golf could be dying next on The Mitch Hank Show at MadisonTalks.com.
Joe here from Comedy on State. Hey, looking for something different to do with your friends? You got friends in town, maybe you're celebrating something. Comedy on State is known to be one of the top three comedy clubs in the country. We handle it right because of the details. If you want to experience that yourself, MadisonComedy.com. I can't say that enough. You can get links to our text club where you can get free tickets.
For a list of upcoming comedy club performers or to purchase tickets, go to MadisonComedyClub.com and click shows. Performer bios are available by clicking on their pictures.
That's Comedy on State, MadisonComedy.com or 256-0099.
The great Joe DiMaggio still holds the major league record for the longest hitting streak in 56 games. Bucks Takeout Pizza has a 56-year winning streak for the best thin crust pizza in the city. Bucks Pizza has a unique taste like no other. Handmade pizzas with homemade sauce and homemade sausage. Two Madison locations on University Avenue and Cottage Grove Road. Just go to BucksPizzaMadison.com. BucksPizzaMadison.com.
Talk radio will never be the same. The uncommon sense of Mitch Hank has been unleashed worldwide. This is the all-new Mitch Hank Show.
At P3 Pro, we're invested in creating a dynamic video experience for our clients. Everything from planning, shooting, and editing your events, commercials, webcasts, or films. P3 Pro has 27 years of industry standard experience working to make your vision a reality. We stand apart from your traditional run-of-the-mill production experience and create memorable, moving, breathtaking imagery that conveys your message in a powerful way. We take your vision and turn it into a work of art that art of storytelling, the art of beautifully crafted imagery, the art of persuasion. Visit us on the web at p3pro.xyz or call 608-571-3776. That's 608-571-3776.
6AM Marketing is a Wisconsin-based ad agency that doesn't look or act like other ad agencies. They don't follow conventional thinking and constantly push themselves and their clients to test the bounds of how far they can go. The result is relationships that have lasted more than 10 years. Clients refer to 6AM and their work as fresh, insightful, strategic, edgy, and creative. 6AM shows customers why your products and services are better than the competition. 6AM's brand smart process helps you establish your brand in the market for years to come. With a client's marketing team by its side, 6AM digs for the business problem the client is trying to solve and the business goals and objectives they hope to achieve, examining the market, competitors, the brand's consumers, and messaging to define a brand proposition that is both compelling and unique to the market. 6AM Marketing. They do it differently, and they do it well. Go to 6ammarketing.com. That's www.6ammarketing.com.
Welcome to the Mitch Hanks Show, originating four blocks from Wisconsin's capital. Mitch is the radio voice of uncommon sense. All sides of an argument are welcome here. Just be prepared to make one, as Mitch argues for truth, not victory. Politics, lifestyle, pop culture are all on the table. So get ready to participate on The Mitch Hanks Show.
All right, we are back, and the U.S. Open is going on in Wisconsin. First time ever the U.S. Open Golf Championship for men has been held in Wisconsin, which I think is pretty cool, actually. I've gone to a bunch of U.S. Opens in my life, and golf was a big part of my family, but I'm just wondering how people watching this have ever played golf. Or do you play golf? Mike Brockeveld, my engineer, have you ever golfed?
Mini golf.
You played mini golf. See, I hear that a lot. There's a golf culture in the golf world, but it's very small, very narrow.
Right.
I mean, back in the day, it was real just golf for the rich, and it became more of a popular kind of everyman's, as they say, sport after Arnold Palmer came out and made it kind of cool, because he had those truck stop arms and he was real rugged. And of course, and golfers used to be built like I am now, although getting thinner, like pear shaped. But then Palmer was the first really athletic-looking golfer, you know, the muscles and the whole thing. The sports writer, the great Jim Murray of the LA Times, said Arnold Palmer had forearms as sturdy as truck stop coffee, which was true. And people loved him, and reacted to the shots. And, you know, he was the women loved him and the whole thing. I'm going to send you that phone number here, Mike. Anyway, so, but golf enjoyed kind of a little renaissance, and people liked it, and it was kind of cool, and became more affordable, yada, yada. But now it's going through all kinds of trouble, and they're having to scramble to see how they can save the game, because country clubs are getting smaller, and people don't have time for it, and people don't have 4 or 5 hours to go play it, because people are busy, and the economy probably has caused a lot of people have to work more than one job or not spend money on golf because money is tighter, and it's all had an impact. And I also think this. I think with social media, with technology, with phones, and with the whole thing with the kids, everybody's on their phone all day. What do they say? The teenager spends, even preteen, like 6 hours on a media screen, in front of a media screen on a regular basis. And they're not doing anything else. And my son, for instance, he played golf 10 to 14. He was really playing a lot. I dropped him off at the course. It was a great daycare place. And he would play golf for 4 hours with his friend and all this. Dan was there? Oh, you know, I just thought of it, and I apologize to my friend Dan Smith. Hello, Mr. Smith.
Hello, Mr.
Mr. Hank.
I didn't give you notice because I didn't think of it until like 2 minutes ago. I hope you understand.
Okay, that's plenty of notice.
Well, it came to me because we're talking about the U.S. Open and golf and the fact that golf courses and clubs are scrambling to keep their membership up and they're trying to find ways to get young people into it. And you're involved with the first tee. And
right.
We're just thinking, you know, my son, for instance, you know my son, once he discovered girls and combined girls with texting, his passion for golf, you know, went south.
Right.
I don't think he'd hit one bucket of balls. He'd have 35 texts.
Yeah, it's been very damaging to the Boy Scouts of America as well.
I would imagine that's true. But, I mean, let's face it. I mean, this question of somebody hitting a bucket of balls or hitting tennis balls against a board or whatever they did. I mean, with phones and with texting and with instant messaging, I mean, come on. It's not going to happen.
Well, good news is our numbers locally for the first tee are way up.
Well, that's good news. That is good news. Very good news.
The participation is very, very good. But, you know, it has to do with the organization reaching out and getting them. And we just had our opening day last Monday, and the heartening thing for us were how many returning kids there were.
Yes. Can I ask the ages on that?
The ages are roughly 7 and up, 7 to probably 15, 16 at the top end.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can see, my son was into it heavily from like 10 to 14 with his buddy. But as soon as 15 hit and the girls became part of his issue, then golf went away. So.
Yeah, we're just starting to get kids to be playing high school golf on their teams that are graduates from the first tee, and that's very heartening. We've had a couple of kids that have earned Evans scholarships, Daniel Romero being one. And you know, that if anybody knows, the Evans scholarship, it's for caddies. It's probably one of the greatest college scholarships you can get.
Oh, sure, so, yeah.
They came through the first tee.
Our friend Joe Klein is a lawyer, and we know Joe. He was an Evans scholar.
Sure, it's a terrific scholarship. But, you know, there's not that many caddies anymore, unfortunately. And those numbers, in fact, we were talking about that today, those numbers are relatively flat over the last few years.
Yeah.
But they're not declining. That
well, you're making
caddies.
Inroads, but I think generally, broadly, because I heard Bill Kratzer talk about this, on with the golf show with Tiziani and Paul Brown. And that is clubs, they're thinking about doing things to make the game more fun and have like 12-hole courses or, you know, that kind of thing. So, I mean, our time is shorter, it seems like, than it was back in the day.
You know, it is. And I don't know if it's an official philosophy, but part of our thinking at the first tee is if a kid wants to play two holes, fine. In fact, this year we're doing something called balance and belief. And we start the kids 25 yards from the hole, and they have to score 36 for 9 holes before they can graduate to 50 yards from the hole. Every time they graduate a distance, we make a $15 donation to the Steve Stricker American Family Children's Hospital in the kids' name.
Wow.
This, you know, opening week, I know Tuesday at Glenway, we had one kid that shot 36 or better. I don't know the kid's name, unfortunately, but there's going to be a $15 donation in his name, and then he'll back up to 50 yards. And anybody that plays the game knows you score from about 100 yards into the game.
Oh, sure, yeah.
Into the hole, I mean.
Well,
so it gives the kids a lot more chance for success because you take a 7-year-old and you have a 355-yard hole, that might be from Madison to Iowa in his mind.
Right, well.
So it gives them a lot more success. It teaches, let's get the ball in the hole as soon as possible.
Well, I will say this as a father who watched my son play. When they get to be 15, 16, do you have to go in and talk about the birds and the bees or talk about, you know, how golf and girls don't mix? Or how do you handle that? I mean, it's fine when they're 12.
I don't know the answer to that. Both my kids played into their teen years, and both, you know, I think my son played sophomore at Memorial.
Sure.
And then, you know, it wasn't good enough to play varsity, quite honestly. But, you know, lost interest. But I will say this, now that they are adults, they still like to play, will come and play with me.
Well, and that's cool. That really is cool. But I'll tell you, after that last high school match, and I don't think I ever told you this, my son played for Verona, and he was medalist in that last sectional match, but he had blown off 2 whole years. He didn't play his sophomore or junior summers at all as he was chasing a variety of females. But he stood up after the pizza dinner at the end of the thing and said, boys, don't do what I did. He goes, girls and golf don't mix. They're like little kids with their eyes bugging out listening to that.
Yeah, but my hunch is he'll be back to the game. He'll come back and play the game.
He loves the game, and he played the other day. He had sent me a Snapchat. But what I'm saying is some kids are late bloomers and some are early bloomers when it comes to those issues. We both know Quinn Moe was a great player, Doug Moe's son. At 14, he was shooting in the 69, I think.
And his senior year, he was the Wisconsin State Journal Player of the Year. So that's...
Well, he stayed very good. But he played really well early, mm-hmm. and then kept that up. And Max Hosking, Jeff Hosking's son, who just qualified.
And both of those young men are in the golf industry in different ways.
Max right.
Competitively, and Quinn is working at Charlotte Country Club.
Yeah, that's right. But I asked Max once, I said, how did you keep your focus away from the social stuff? Like, my son just lost it to that. And he said, well, I got to get my golf fix.
Yeah.
So, yeah, as you said, with your own son losing it, if you don't have that burning, passionate love, I mean, you're going to fail.
You know, not that we're, writing books about parenthood, but our philosophy was just expose them to a lot of stuff. And if they gravitate to something, make it happen for him. If it's golf, great. If it's not, that's okay, too. We had one son in music and one in the performing arts.
Yes.
Son, daughter in the performing arts.
And you have wonderful, wonderful children, now adults.
It wasn't golf, but they were exposed to it. They had the opportunity.
Sure, right. Yeah, exactly.
But you and I, we were hooked at an early age and we kept playing. That's not necessarily true for everybody. But I think if you expose young people to golf and it's fun, and you can play with grandpa. You can play with grandma. I mean, you can't play tackle football or hockey with grandma and grandpa. It's not going to happen.
Do you have a rule on the cell phones on the course? Because
we don't allow them on the course.
Okay. Because, it'd be Father's Day, and that's the one day that both my kids would play with their dad nine holes or whatever,
Yeah.
But again, the cell phones are out, and I finally said, why are you talking to them? This is my nine holes. Can you talk to your father? He goes, we're waiting to hit. We got to wait.
It would be nice if they put cell phones away and could ignore social media for longer than 14 seconds.
Well, exactly. I mean, I just want to stomp on that phone.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, me too. But it is what it is. And that's the way they communicate. I remember years ago doing a story with some youth psychologist, and I said, should I be, this was before cell phones, I said, should I be concerned the amount of time my daughter spends on the telephone with her friends? And she said, you should be concerned if she's not spending time.
Well, I didn't say, I mean, that is
and maybe that's true with social media. I'm a Luddite, when it comes to social media.
No, so. You're not. You've always been very much on the cutting edge, actually, but...
Thank you, but it is what it is. To me, golf remains a wonderful sport. Golf, like tennis, is a sport you can play your whole life. And again, you not necessarily tennis, but what other sport can you play multi-generational?
That's true.
Wonderful things as a father was when we had a scramble, and it involved my parents, my sister and I, and respective spouses and all the children, and everybody had a ball.
That is wonderful, yeah.
And it's a scramble, so it didn't really matter.
No,
and I think everybody was within a shot of each other.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But what other sport is that going to happen?
You can't say it. No, you can't. I'm just wondering, are the games in okay though in terms of clubs and surviving? Are we?
Boy, that's a good question. I know that I know golf in the city of Madison on the public courses is doing just fine.
Sure.
Now, there are issues because of weather. For example, Yahara doesn't handle water as well as, let's say, Odana does. But, boy, I was at Odana on Tuesday, and the parking lot was jammed. It was like there was a...
Yeah, that's true.
They're giving out free beer,
Yeah, and again, I think Madison, has a good recreational culture, and the income levels are... healthy, sort of, right? That plays into
it.
Well,
golf in the upper Midwest is very strong. Minnesota, Michigan, Wisconsin.
And the season is short, so people are passionate about it. But
right.
And
I think golf in the Midwest is healthy. I'm not really, I haven't looked at the United States Golf Association or Golf Foundation statistics for a while, But, you know, the USGA is coming out with, if you're watching the U.S. Open, you've probably seen the ad, with some new rules designed to make it more playable and more fun.
Yes.
And I think that's a good thing.
Oh, I'm all about tee it forward now. Yeah. Well, yeah. You know, you have a stroke, it kind of changes
your thing.
I'm
all for 25 yards in with the kids.
Well, that too, yeah, exactly. I'm going to go ahead with them. By the way, Ricky Fowler, the man who's leading the proves you don't have to be a big, strong, brawny guy to play golf either.
No.
I mean, I think he weighs about 170, doesn't he, on all soaking wet?
Yeah, I weigh about 2 Ricky Fowlers.
I was going to say, my neck is bigger.
Throw in a half of Jordan Spieth while you're at it.
Exactly. My neck is bigger than his waist. Well, Dan Smith, thank you for coming on. I appreciate it very much. First Tee, is there a website you should give?
Yes, firsttee.org.
FirstTee.org. I think it's great that you do that. I'll tell the joke about my son. I can't tell it on the air, but I'll tell it later. All right, well, take care. Have fun.
All right,
see you. All right. Come back with a couple of final thoughts here on the Mitch Hanks Show on MadisonTalks.com.
This is Pete Gunderson. Pre-planning a life celebration doesn't necessarily mean prepaying. At Gunderson Funeral and Cremation Care, we offer a variety of affordable options that you can pre-arrange for free. It's pre-planning without the worry of prepaying. Learn more at GundersonFH.com, your hometown life celebration center.
Gunderson Funeral Home.
If you operate a business, you know there is no one-size-fits-all solution for today's technology challenges. MadisonGeeks.com plans, services, and installs technologies for small and medium businesses like network systems, servers, firewalls, wireless access points, telecommunications, security, remote service options, and business productivity solutions. MadisonGeeks.com is your IT staff. They take time to sit down to discuss your needs and present cost-effective solutions. With a Better Business Bureau A-plus rating, they are your trusted IT outsource partner. Expect less downtime. Faster resolutions lead to more productivity. Fewer day-to-day issues. Their proactive maintenance helps prevent issues from occurring. MadisonGeeks.com also offers computer and laptop service and repair. Madison Geeks are there to help. They're known for their candid, friendly approach and reliable, ready response. Check them out online at MadisonGeeks.com.
The all-new Mitch Hanks Show would like to thank our sponsors. We're grateful for their support of the all-new Mitch Hanks Show.
When it comes to telephone on-hold advertising, some commonly asked questions are, why do we need an on-hold message? How do we write a script? How long should the message be? How does the message get played? How much does it cost? I'm Bob of Abella Creative Services, and a telephone on-hold message speaks directly to your target audience while they're on hold with your company. Continuously advertises only your business without the clutter of competitive ads and for just a fraction of conventional advertising costs. At Bob Abella Creative Services, we'll help you draft a well-written script, provide the appropriate announcer, music, or sound effects, and the studio time and expertise to put it all together. We'll also provide you with any special equipment you might need to play your on-hold message. Even though we probably have more experience than most other on-hold message companies, we'll cost you less. Let Bobabella Creative Services stretch your advertising dollar with an on-hold message that provides your customers with real, actionable solutions to their problems. Bobabella Creative Services gets results. Just send us an email at bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. That's bacsgetsresults@gmail.com. Mitch Hank for Atterbury Cameron Haig.
I'm proud to be sitting next to senior partner and a man who's been voted Wisconsin's super lawyer multiple times, Eric Haig. How often do you take a case all the way to a jury trial?
What we do that's different from some firms is, when necessary, we take the case to trial. It's the ability to do that and a track record of doing that that gives you the leverage to get a fair settlement for the vast majority of your clients. There are lawyers out there who actually will not take them to trial. And it doesn't take the insurance industry, of course, very long to figure that out. So their leverage is minimal when trying to negotiate a settlement on the case. Whereas the lawyers at Atterbury, Cameron, Haig have all demonstrated an ability to take cases to trial. It's that track record that provides the leverage to get a fair settlement so that we don't have to take the cases to trial.
So when you need a lawyer, do what I did. Call Atterbury, Cameron, Haig and reach them at yourwisconsininjurylawyers.com. That's
Welcome back to the Mitch Hanks Show. Mitch seeks the truth by inviting all sides of the issue. Thanks for listening to the Mitch Hanks Show.
I can't describe it, the golfing culture. I mean, a lot of people now have no desire to golf, play it, or take the time to play it, or spend the money on it. But I used to be in that world, and if you grow up in that world, you know, it's just part of the deal. It's your way of hanging out with your friends and doing something you like. And I'll tell you what it was, is I played in college and high school, and still played as much as I could as an older person, tried to be competitive. It's like the one place you can be competitive. But then I had a stroke, and I couldn't play anymore like in the old days. But you know what? In the old days, I would get all upset and frustrated, like I was, you know, 48 trying to be 22, you know. It's idiot, you know, I was an idiot. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't take it out on my friends, but I would just, oh! And I was saying, why am I? And I see it now. I watch these men. I don't play very much, but I see these men in their 60s using the F word and cussing and slamming the clubs down in the ground. Testosterone is raging, whatever's left.
Beyond frustrated.
And I go, what are you doing? I mean, you're not good enough to cuss. You know what I mean? you're not good enough to cuss. I mean, the ones who are really good, you know, they're all kind of by themselves, the really, really good ones, they kind of it gets quiet when they walk in, you know. Like, it's always
like
everything.
Like anything else.
In life, yeah. And they go off and, you know, by themselves or whatever. Everybody else sitting around with beer and actually, Dan Smith, who was just on the show, had a great line. We're sitting around the snack counter at the golf course, and people were having beer and eating hamburgers and stuff and talking smack and telling dirty jokes or whatever. All the men golfers. And Dan Smith's wife, Gina, who's a wonderful person, came walking in. She goes, what are you guys talking about? Ted goes, family. He goes, family. No, family. Kids. Oh, I mean, it was just hilarious. You know
didn't
what
skip
I mean?
A beat. Yeah.
Well, I mean, the point of it is just the cultural divide between the guys and, you know, wives in that setting is just so stark.
Right.
And I think a lot of... I've seen husbands, you know, look at their watch. And, you know, my uncle would play in the morning at 7 o'clock, because the rule was that he had to play at 7 o'clock in the morning, and he'd be home by noon or one.
Oh yeah,
because
he
had to mow the lawn.
Well,
he had to work in the garden. You know, whatever, that was the rule. And the ones who stayed and played cards until five were divorced 3 times. You know, they weren't not married. And my uncle would say, it's called marriage maintenance. That's what this is called, Mitchell. We have to get home. Honeydew time. And he was watching. So he had a certain amount of time with the boys. And then, sounds sexist and misogynist, but it's just true. He was home by one. That was fine. He had to mow the lawn and do the stuff and go to the store, do whatever it was that my aunt told him to do. Because when he got home, he was now hers, right?
Yeah.
So he did his thing until, you know, 1 o'clock. And I would say, we'd walk out, and the guy's playing cards. I go, what about them? And he goes, they're all divorced. I mean, and they'd be married 3 times. There are some guys at the golf course, I swear to God, over the years, who've been in their 50s, and they still live in their mother's basement, or, you know, they still live with their mothers. I mean, just it's amazing. Yeah. But they would golf like 4 days a week. And they're there at the course. I want to write a book on Odana theater, you know, the men of Odana, just characters, you know, cab drivers and doctors or what, you know, they're just personalities.
Do a miniseries?
Oh, you could do a miniseries. You really could. Odana theater.
There you go.
But there is something about it. You know, you've got a common bond, and I'll tell you one thing, you know, it's probably the best thing you can do with your clothes on is golf, I suppose. you know, but then work gets in the way, and being broke and unemployed, those things enter into it. You really can't play when you have those things going on.
All the life stuff.
Yeah. The life stuff gets in the way. But I would say this, I mean, if you're gonna do something, maybe exercise, and probably tennis is better, I mean, in terms of exercise, right?
Cardio. Okay.
Walking and stuff. I mean, you know, you don't get a lot when you golf because you're stopping and starting. But it's better than nothing.
Yeah.
You know, and I think watching my uncle play, and he was a great player. It was funny. People loved him. It's a competitive thing. As Dan said, you can play, four generations can play together. You know, and you can really be good at 70. I mean, the really good players are good, can be good at 70.
Just keep getting better.
I mean, you're not going to be good at basketball at 70, right? I mean,
no.
you might play some Masters League or something where they play in slow motion, take a shot, you know. But you can be a damn good golfer at 70 if you're really good. But I remember Jim Wright, the old speaker of the House Speaker. He said, what do you have to show for it? A scorecard. Well, you sit around and talk smack with your buddies on the picnic table. That's what you have.
Yeah.
It's bonding.
Oh, yeah.
And people who don't golf don't bond. They don't hang. They're just working. They work. They work at home. They work in the yard. They work. You know, they're not bonding. They're just, you know, they might go for a hike. Which, you know, I did this morning outside, but it's not the same as the mountains. We want to thank Bob Keller for the space here on West Washington Avenue. Check out Keller Properties downtown, West Side. Go to kellerapartments.com. That's kellerapartments.com. We thank Mike Brockville, our engineer, who came all the way from Fond du Lac, did a great job. We've got Bob Abella's Wide World of Radio up next. Classic radio shows of the 30s and 40s coming up. Go to madisontalks.com.